Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday, August 10th.
Good morning.
Rachel's with me as always, like Swiss watch, right? I mean, always on time.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
And punctual.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, I always notice that about people, when they're punctual and when they're not, you know, because...
So you would say that I'm a punctual person.
I would say you're pretty punctual, yes.
Cool. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, tell everybody. If you want someone punctual and also funny, Rachel is the place. She's the destination.
Exactly.
You're doing a show tonight, right?
I have a show tonight at Flappers Claremont.
Oh, Claremont, that's right. I was going to come to the Burbank one.
Make it through.
Yeah.
Let's see. If I make it through lunchtime.
Don't confuse Flappers in Burbank with the one in Claremont.
I'm looking up how
How far it is?
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's inland somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Flappers, Claremont. 41 miles away.
Well, that's not too bad. Okay, it's about an hour drive or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we have a full show today. We're going to have a guest calling in at 10:15, and then at 10:30, we're going to have a couple of guests calling in to discuss the bash. We're going to be at the event in Manhattan Beach this Saturday.
Amazing.
So they're going to call in. We're going to talk about that a little bit, tease the hell out of it. And we do invite everybody, all our listeners, to come down, see us, Manhattan Beach, this Saturday, 2 to 6. And it's called Lunch at the Beach. And it's at the Manhattan Beach Studios campus in Manhattan Beach. So if you just look it up, you'll be able to find it. A great morning of food and beer.
Sounds delicious.
So, yeah, and probably wine and all that stuff. So, and we're going to be broadcasting from there. Looking forward to it. I'm a little stressed about it because, you know, organizing events is not my forte, but we'll be there and we'll make everybody happy. So there you go. A couple of things before we move forward. Did you hear about the Taylor Swift trial?
Yeah.
That's going on?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't following this really, but apparently a radio host, incidentally, I guess groped her, and she says put his hand under her dress and grabbed her ass.
Yeah.
Under her skirt.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're accusing her of lying and all this shit, so... But the guy did lose his job 2 days later after an investigation by the radio station itself.
Honestly, she has no reason to lie. She has all the money in the world.
Right. You know, I mean, why would she do this?
I'm sure. I mean, I just think that I don't think she's lying.
Right.
Why would she humiliate herself and put herself through all this just so, you know what I mean?
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But, you know, then again, that's not an argument. You know,
well, I mean, it sucks because she has lied before.
Really?
With the whole Kim and Kanye,
I don't remember that at all.
Taylor Swift was supposed to give, like, apparently Kim and Kanye, like, Kanye used a line about Taylor Swift in one of his songs, right? Mm. And Taylor Swift apparently acted all surprised and offended when supposedly she had already, like, she gave Kanye permission.
Really?
And on an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they released, like, they actually have a recorded phone call with Kim, Kanye, and Taylor, her approving him saying whatever he said. Isn't that
really
fucked up? Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like, I mean, she has lied before, but I don't think she would lie about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. I don't know. You know, I mean, the thing is that when people make claims, sometimes we, you know, I mean, we're quick to judge people in the media and in the public. I mean, you have to admit that. We just hear a rumor and they're okay, they're guilty. But at the same time, you know, yeah, if she pursued it this long and stuff,
Yeah.
You know, and nobody really knew about it. Exactly. So it must have bothered her a lot. Right. You know, and that's the thing people don't understand.
If this guy has done it to Taylor Swift, he's definitely done it to women who don't have a, you know what I mean, who don't have a voice or a say or whatever. Right. So
it's got to make you feel so violated when someone does that.
Yeah, typically when someone does something like that, that's not the first time they've done it.
Yeah, yeah. Like O.J. Simpson, for example. Right. It's not the first time he's done things against the law, and he continues.
Right.
All true. Right, well, Taylor Swift for you. Walmart apologizes for sign marketing guns.
Back to school.
It's back to school items. Did you see that? It went viral on the internet.
Yeah, they're so stupid.
Yeah, so now they're like, they're really embarrassed, and they're pissed, and they're trying to find the identify the store.
Is anyone surprised? This Walmart used to sell guns and ammo years ago before, you know, like anyone could go in and buy guns and ammo in Walmart.
I know. Well, you still can, but it shouldn't definitely be under the back to school section.
Oh, my God.
And it
is. Well, now I don't think they sell ammo there.
Mm.
I think they sell guns.
Just the guns. Yeah. I'm sure for hunting and stuff, right? That's probably what they sell them for. Under the explanation that are for hunting, I don't think they're meant to kill people.
You gotta go to back to school. You gotta get your pens, your pencils, and your AK-47.
Exactly. But and the fact that these guns are displayed just like in a glass display in the middle of the store is kind of weird. You would think it would be behind
America.
A counter or
That's
something.
That's America for you.
I know, we love our guns, don't we? In this country, people love violence in general. I mean, look at all our movies, our books. All our stories, we focus on violence. All
bless you. Yeah, but that's been going on forever. Look at even Disney movies are violent in certain ways, and old westerns.
They are.
I mean, some of the since the beginning, there's always like a violent element to
even
if it's a comedy.
I just don't understand the fascination with like mass murderers and serial
even
murders
our cartoons,
and shit like that.
Like Looney Tunes. Yeah. There's always one trying to kill the other. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's what we grow up watching.
Right. That's how they enculture us in the Western society.
But at the same time, I mean, kids grew up watching wars, knowing their parents, you know, what. So it's like, I don't think necessarily those images cause people to go out and do things. I think what it is, you know, if you're learning from your household what the difference between right and wrong is.
Right.
And what your values are. I mean, there are Democrats and Republicans who grow up with guns in the house, and it's all about how you're taught.
Right.
So
I know. I don't get the point in having a gun in your house. I mean, at least here, you know. I don't know. Maybe in the wilderness or whatever.
I see 100% both areas. Sides of the argument. I'm uncomfortable with guns. But at the same time, I'm a liberal. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, but I'm a liberal in a sense of if you want to have a gun and you are legally able to, like, you know, you're a sane person and you're using it in protection and it's in a place and you're a responsible gun owner. I don't see I see the harm, but it's like, that's in our constitution. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, knowing that, if you're a responsible gun owner. But here's the argument. I think guns don't kill people. People kill people. But guns, I mean, do. You hear the horror stories about kids getting into their parents' cupboards or whatever. Right. So it's like, I don't know what the right answer is. And then I've traveled to Ireland before. In Ireland and Britain, the police officers don't have guns. They have batons. And the gun rate is so incredible, you know, like, it's so low.
Right.
But there are people who are like, well, what if you get attacked? I would rather have a gun than not have one.
So let me ask you this. You think the crime is low in England because
the cops don't
have guns?
The gun crime. Shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
So you think people are shooting less because the cops don't have guns? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense.
I think that, because guns are illegal in that country. You can't.
But criminals
it still
don't
happens,
care, right?
But I think that like gun deaths are less because there's no access to them.
Oh, okay. All right. So not because
deaths,
Not because
still have them, but I think because guns are illegal to have.
Right.
The
yes, cops feel they don't need to protect themselves with guns.
I'm sure they do, but the government of that country doesn't want they have other weapons to choose from because in their mind they think, you know, it's more harmful. If they think that if people don't have guns, then it's like fair. You know what I mean? Or it's not fair, but you're not going to have someone attacking you with a gun.
Right.
I mean, that still happens.
Yeah. I think the Constitution was talking more about people protecting themselves. But that's why you have people over there
running people over with trucks instead of shooting
people. Yeah, you know right? I mean? The knives. But no, I think the Constitution meant that we would have guns so we can be protected from our own government. You know, I think that's what it was about.
The right to bear arms.
Right, you know. And I think that's what it was originally meant for. And but, yeah, it is in the Constitution. I happen to think it's a solid document. And I think they were very smart in what they were doing and thinking and writing, the Founding Fathers. So, you know, that was very interesting, especially in light of the Revolutionary War and everything where they had to fight, you know, for the freedom and everything. So,
I mean, that's very interesting. I think guns are scary, but I think it's also important to know how to use one properly.
Right.
And I have shot a gun before at a gun range.
Yeah.
I actually shot a gun in Israel in Uzi when I was 13.
Wow. And I never have. And I lived there, right.
But when I lived in Florida, and it's the same in Las Vegas, you could walk into a gun range, just hand them your license. They ask you, have you ever held a gun before? You can lie.
Yeah.
And they'll literally give anyone with a license a gun to go and, you know, you pay $30 or whatever.
You mean a driver's license? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Not
or
a gun license.
Or a form of
whatever. Yeah, but not a gun license.
No, you don't even need a gun license.
Okay.
Your gun license is, they ask you, have you shot a gun before?
Right.
Yeah.
That's your gun license.
So, I mean, but at the same time, you know, I think of a gun as like that in 1 second can kill or seriously injure someone, right? But so can a car.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So can a knife. Yeah. So can a kitchen knife.
Yeah. I know. Well, yeah, it just boils down to how violent the society is, I think, and, you know. At any rate, so we're going to be called in by our guest in just a moment. She has a French last name, and I'm afraid to attempt it, but maybe I will. And when she calls in, but, you know, I'm sure she's used to it and stuff. A lot of threats continuing from North Korea, and they're asking the question, could Congress stop Trump from bombing North Korea? And apparently they cannot. The Constitution gives Congress the ability to declare war, but they can't really stop the president if he's determined to strike them, because he is a commander-in-chief, and I guess the Constitution gives the president a lot of power when it comes to that, a lot of authority. So, you know, the thing is that I think who's going to lose there is the South Koreans, because the war is going to be taken over there. We're not going to fight here, I'm sure. So if we take it over there, all they have to do is shell.
I think everyone loses in this situation.
No, of course. There are no good alternatives. I'm just saying that Seoul, they're saying, is one of the most dense cities in the world. And if that gets shelled.
I just think this is a nice distraction from the Russia collusion that we're investigating currently. Donald Trump is using it as a distraction.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, but, you know.
I mean, why all of a sudden are we picking
Because they're testing in intercontinental.
They've been testing for years.
No, not ICBMs, I'm telling you. Okay, our guest is calling in, so we're going to go ahead and take our first guest. We're going to be joined by Suzanne. Suzanne, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, good morning, Suzanne. Can you pronounce your last name for us? I didn't want to butcher it. It's a French name.
Belfi,
right?
Yes,
okay,
right.
Belfi it is. Where are you calling us from this morning, Suzanne?
I live in a small town near Apple Hill. It's about an hour away from Ottawa and from Canada.
Oh, in Canada. I see. Wow. Is that where you lived all your life?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So So that, well, have you ever been to the States? Have you ever been to come visit us here in L.A.?
I've never been to L.A., but I've been to New York City.
Okay, well, you need to come here because Ottawa sounds cold to me. So
it is.
You need some sun and stuff, you know. So now we're going to talk about your book in a minute, but what do you do when you're not writing? Is writing something that you do pretty much as the main thing in your life?
No, writing is my passion, but I work with special needs.
Oh, special needs, what, children, adults?
Young adults.
Oh, I see, okay. And how did you get into that?
If you read the back of my book, I was a high school dropout.
Uh-huh.
At the age of 17, I was pregnant, and then when I had all my children, I said, well, I better get back to school. Right. How can you tell my kids to go for a college degree when you don't have one?
Right.
So I went back to school, and I always wanted to work with people, and my teacher told me that I would do really great with special needs, and here I am.
Wow. So you had a child early on in your life, and then you said, after all your children, how many do you have?
I have four boys.
Oh, four boys. Wow. That's a lot of kids. I mean, you must love kids a lot.
I do.
Well, it can't be easy, though, right? What's your, how old is your youngest?
My youngest is 26.
Oh, wow. I see. Okay, so you've had them for a while, and they're grown and everything, so that's cool.
Oh. Yeah, they're all growing up.
Yeah, so you decided to go back to school, and then you got this impression that you'd be doing great with. Now, why did they say you'd be doing well with special needs? What qualifications did you feel you had?
It's just, I guess, the way she was seeing my character and seeing how I was creating stuff, because we had projects on special needs. Right. And just the way I wrote stuff on my projects, you just see me there.
Oh, okay, very cool. So
yeah.
So what was your childhood like? I know that the book you wrote is it fiction or is it real or is it a mix of both of what happened to you in your life?
Well, my book, I made it a fiction because I wanted to make it my book.
Okay.
But it's based on a true story of my mom and dad.
Oh, okay. And the book is Path of Lucas, the journey he endured. So tell us a little bit about your childhood. What was it like? Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I had four brothers.
Okay.
So basically, my childhood was quite hard because my mom took a depression when I was about age 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
And doctors said they'll do whatever it takes to get her back, because she went to psychotic depression.
Right.
And so they gave her treatments, like shock treatments. They did all kinds of meds.
Wow.
And therapy, and she wasn't coming out of it.
Really?
So why I wrote about this book is because my dad, they went to my dad and they said to him that his wife is not coming out of her illness, but she has to go into an institute back in the 70s.
Wow.
And so my dad, he said, no way, let me try. Let me, give me a chance to work with her. And so he did.
Really? And what, he did like counseling and stuff with her?
Actually, I call it the power of love.
Uh-huh.
Because he worked his magic, I guess. And he got her out of it by telling her that she has five children and a certain age group, and he took her out to stores. It was Christmas time, and he said, you have to buy something for those children. These are their age group, and, you know, like, let's work there. And that's where it started from there, and something triggered her mind, and she realized, she came out of it, she realized she had children, and she had a husband.
Wow. So this was like, he said, psychotic depression, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty serious. I mean, an electric shock treatment, that's pretty
intense.
Yeah, intense and extreme, you know. And I know they were doing that back in the 50s and everything. I think they still do sometimes. But but I know that depressions can be very deep and often more physical, biological than mental. And then you don't know really how to deal with that, and it makes you even more depressed. And you sink, you know, you sink into dark depths, you know. So what was it like for you guys? I mean, did you guys feel any responsibility to help your mom? I mean, that would be pretty tough for kids to see, right?
It is. It's very hard because they tell you your mom is ill as a child, and then they say, you know, like, doctors are taking care of her, but me and my brothers, we couldn't go see her in the hospital. Mm. And so we're always wondering, like, how sick is she sick now? You know, you hear people being sick, but you go visit them. And for us, we couldn't go visit our mom.
Wow.
And that was extremely hard for us.
Yeah, yeah. So you felt she was somehow different and being treated differently by people.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times as a child, you know, your school grades go down because of that.
Right.
Because you're always concentrating on your mom or what's going on, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. So at what point did you, how did it affect you as you grew up? I mean, did you, this obviously must have left a deep impact on you. Did anybody else in your family suffer from depression too? Your siblings or?
Not my siblings, but my mom's sisters did go through some kind of depression.
Right.
But not as severe as my mom.
Okay.
And then for me, I was always kind of being the mom. When she came out of it,
yeah.
I was like, I had to grow up fast. And I was like the mom, and I was always protecting my mother as a daughter kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, which it should be the other way around, yeah. So you had to grow up fast, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. For those of you joining us, we're talking to Suzanne Belfi, and she wrote the book called Path of Lucas. So this is a fictional book based, what, on your father?
Yeah, my dad's journey.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the book. I'm sure you got the idea after having gone through all this and stuff, but how did you decide to actually put a book together? How did it work out for you?
Well, I always, had a passion of books growing up, and there was always something about a book. But with all my childhood and growing up, I know, being a mom very old, very young. I kind of put everything aside, right? You're just focusing on raising your children and going back to school and all that stuff, right?
Right.
So then it was always there. Like, there's always this calling. And so when my kids grew up, I decided, okay, I want to write a book. And then I was thinking, like, what do I write about?
Right.
And when I looked at my dad in his eyes, I'm like, it's just like, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one I want to write about, because he was such a strong man, you know, for everything he went through.
Wow.
And we also lost a brother at 21 of cancer.
Yeah.
And so, like, my dad was such a strong man. He kept the family together. And that's why I want to write about him, like, what he, you know. I'll say the power of love, how strong that could be.
That's true, right.
He never gave up.
Wow, very interesting. Now, did he see you write the book, actually, complete the book? Is he still around?
Yeah, well, when I first started writing my book, I told him that I want to write a book about you. And he went, a book about me? I can always remember those words.
Right.
And, I finished the book. But when I signed the contract for to get the book together.
Uh-huh.
It was my dad's 75th birthday.
Uh-huh.
So we had kind of two celebrations at once. And he was so happy, like, you know, the book is coming through.
Uh-huh.
But sadly, he passed away 3 months before my book was final.
Oh, but at least he knew you were writing this and stuff, and you managed to memorize him. That's awesome, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, he was really, really, really happy about it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the book itself. So this man is going through a journey. Do you mean more like a mental journey, or not necessarily like going very far physically, right?
Well, it starts from when my mom and dad met.
Uh-huh.
And the challenges they had throughout their lives and raising five children, and like my mom's psychotic depression and how he pulled her through. And then it goes from there, you know, like how the kids grew up. And then my mom actually passed away at 53 of a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, all this stuff that my dad had to endure.
Yeah. Wow, he sure had a tough life, let me tell him. Let me tell you, but what was he like? I mean, was he like an easygoing person? What was he like?
Yeah, he was. Everybody loved him. Like, when he walked into the room, he always knew what to say to people. He made people laugh. He was full of jokes.
Yeah.
And he loved to socialize.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome that you memorialized him like this, you know, with a book and everything. And it's obviously good for your children, for the next generations, maybe to really understand this mental illness, because sometimes it goes through generations, right? From one to another.
That's right.
Yeah. Very cool. Path of Lucas, Suzanne Belfi. Tell people how they can find out more about you, about the book.
They can find out about me on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, Path of Lucas on Facebook, and if they ever want to buy a book in Canada, it's at Chapters.
Okay.
Amazon.ca, and in the States is Barnes & Nobles and Amazon.com.
Sounds good. And you guys can go to the website to get a lot more information, pathoflucas.com, and you can find out about the book. This is very inspiring, you know. I mean, I wish I had somebody to pull me out of my depression when I first encountered this, but most people have to deal with it on their own. They don't know what's going on, ends in suicide and stuff like that. Your dad has done a tremendous job, you know, and we salute him for that, and we thank you for making the story possible, you know, and putting it out there so people can learn more about, because I'll bet you there's a lot of people going through this stuff, you know. They just
even when I was in New York City promoting my book, they would ask me what's the book about, and that's the focus of the book is the depression, right? And as soon as I would say something like that, they would go, oh my god, like their mom or their father or their husband or wife, you know, is going through it, or I myself went through it, you know. So they would open up to me, and I really like that, because we don't open up. You know, people keep that silent, and we need to speak out, you know, get professional help.
Right. Absolutely. All right, folks. So find Suzanne on Facebook, Path of Lucas. You can also go to pathoflucas.com and get the rest of the information there. And please get the book so we can get the story out there. Suzanne, thank you so much for taking the time out to call us this morning.
Thank you.
I thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
And we wish you all continued success and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Suzanne. So, yeah, there you go, another depression story, but a happy ending in a way that he managed to pull her out of it and she continued to live. And
yeah, that's very rare.
You know, and be aware of her family and stuff, because, God, man, it's got to be very tough. You know, I don't know how people go through this. But I did. I felt it affected the family. I mean, mental illness literally rips families apart, you know, because you don't know how to help the person. Sometimes you think it's character defect or something, you know.
Yeah, there was an article that I saw on Facebook today, because Sinead O'Connor is going through, like, some mental illness right now, or she's, you know, struggling with depression, and she's putting it out there on Facebook and social media. And the article was all about how we don't know as a society really how to approach, a lot of us don't know how to approach mental illness,
right?
And we treat it differently than other physical ailment. Like, they were just saying how, like, mentally, you know, family members or friends or people who know someone who's going through mental illness, sometimes we just ghost them. We don't know. You don't know how to approach it, or you dismiss them, or it's just, you know, you don't know how to, like, handle it. And we would never do that to someone who has cancer or any other disease.
Exactly.
We would never be like, and people don't realize that mental illness, just because, you know, it's just as severe as,
if not worse, you know. I mean,
exactly, because you can't even see it. So it's like almost in like a silent torture.
Yeah, you can hurt people, you can hurt yourself.
And if you've never experienced it, you know, you're lucky, because, you know, I really think everyone has some form of mental illness, but I really think, you know, there are people out there who just don't understand it because they've never, experienced it, really.
All right. Well, we're going to take our next guest calling in. I believe this is Mark Lips. Mark, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling in, Mark. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm here with Tamsin as well. Can awesome. You hear us okay?
We can hear you very well. Thank you.
Awesome.
So you guys are on the same line pretty much? We don't have to wait for another call?
Yeah, would you rather us be on separate?
If you can, you know, that way you don't have to be on speaker. We'll hear you a lot better.
Right.
Okay. So, just have a call in.
Does she call in from the same number?
Yeah, here she comes. I'll take it. Hold on.
Okay, so I'm off, she's calling in right now.
Right. Tamsin, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am, yes. Hi Tamsin. Sam. Good morning.
Hi. Okay, so now we have Mark and Tamsin on the line. You guys are with the Chamber of Commerce of Manhattan Beach, and we wanted to have you on the show so we can discuss the event on Saturday. You guys were both here on the show as well, and we discussed a lot of the stuff you guys do down there, which is amazing. And Manhattan Beach, one of my favorite places, really. So tell people about this Saturday. You're going to have lunch at the beach event in Manhattan Beach. Tell people more about it, what we can expect. Of course, LA Talk Radio is going to be there broadcasting live. That's really exciting. And but tell us what else is going on there, guys. Mark?
Well, the most exciting part is that LA Talk Radio is going to be there. And we are going to line up local politicos. We're hoping that we have Janice Hahn's representative will be there. We're hoping that Al Marzucci will be there. Of course, our city council, our mayor, our city leaders, our city manager, for instance, and many others will be there. So
that's
hopefully
nice.
You'll get to meet them. And LA Talk Radio is going to set Manhattan Beach
on fire
that day. So, yeah. And then what we've got is almost 20 craft breweries and 25 local restaurants and caterers serving samples of their food. And so when you come in, you don't pull out your wallet ever again. You literally walk through and sample beers, and there will be a couple of wines there for those of you who don't want to fill up a beer. We will also have some other non-alcoholic things so that you can hydrate every now and then. And then local restaurants, everything from Shade, Zinc restaurant from Shade, which is high-end Salsal out of El Segundo, which is a high-end gourmet Mexican. We've got the Ripe Choice Catering, which is a high-end catering company that does great stuff. Let's see, what else? I mean, and many craft breweries, so trust me, it's just going to be fun. This is the one event that the Chamber does a lot of seminars, workshops, events, any educational seminars to help our local businesses, right? But this is the one event where we don't want to talk business. This is the one event where we want you to come to the event. Let's have some fun. Let's cheer everybody, and we'll finish off the summer with just having a great time. And certainly we want to say thank you to our SoCal Gas, which is one of our sponsors, and Chevron, which is another sponsor.
Amazing.
And
so you got everybody
on
board.
Members who are going to be there. So this, we just want to come and have fun, and we'll talk a little business with you when you get us on the radio. But other than that, we just want to have fun.
Sounds good. Tamsin, how can people find out more about the event and join us there?
Yeah, so they can go to www.manhattanbeachchamber.com, and there is an Eventbrite banner on the top of the website, so that will lead them directly to the event description, and they can purchase tickets there. We have a promo code LATALK that you can enter, and that will also give you an additional $10 off. So that's the easiest way, is go straight to the chamber website. Okay. And just wanted to mention, we have some awesome musicians, Jack Tracy, BJ Arnold, and Derek Elliott, and we have folks, DJs appearing, and the movie studio lot is called New York Street. It's very exciting, really fun for photo ops. It was the movie set for CSI, Scorpion, Planet of the Apes, and Avatar 2. So
very
just
cool.
A lot of fun experiences for people. Again, it's manhattanbeachchamber.com.
Right. And this is going to be at the Manhattan Beach Studios campus, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Studios on 1600 Rosecrans in Manhattan Beach.
Sounds good. And everybody, we invite you all to be there. It's going to be really exciting. We're telling everybody to come. I mean, you can't beat all the beer and food you can handle in one day, you know. That's a lot.
It's from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Right, so, this Saturday.
And we suggest you Uber or cab or Lyft, or get dropped off by your mother, whoever. But the E3 vehicles will, we also have this group of E3 vehicles, which are these little electric, very cute vehicles, a lot of personality, that will take you from wherever you parked your car or wherever you walked in the entrance to the studios, will take you to the registration table. So they'll pick you up and take you there and also take you back.
Sounds good. Well, you guys thought about everything, and that's a cool thing. So, I mean, parking is so yesterday, you know, with Uber and everything else.
Yeah, I think.
Sam, we're not going to have – I don't think – listen, there was a guy I talked to at a conference last week, and he has this – he does presentations on what to expect in the future. And he said, our kids' kids will not be owning cars.
Really?
It'll all be on demand.
Oh, very interesting, huh? Mm. So the traffic will probably be better,
yeah,
too, huh? Yeah. Driverless cars and everything. I know. It's going to be amazing.
Well, no. Think about it. I know a friend who has, this would be a good topic for one of your shows.
Yeah.
A friend who has, you know, he's an executive in West L.A. and literally owns, their family owns one car.
Wow.
And he Ubers or Lyfts to all of his appointments, all of his meetings, everywhere he goes. He said it's great because I don't have to worry about parking.
Right.
And I can do work in the car while I'm being transported. So it's almost like he's got a limo service.
That's, you know, true.
I have
That's
an event
true.
Planner. And there's an event planner here that works with us at the chamber, and she doesn't own a car. She lives in Hermosa Beach, does not own a car, Ubers everywhere. Doesn't have to pay gas, doesn't have to pay an insurance, doesn't have to pay for a car payment, doesn't have to pay maintenance.
That's true.
Doesn't have to look for parking in a tight beach area community. I mean, you know, my gosh, I'm getting rid of my car today.
I know, you get me all hyped about doing this.
It works
so this
for
is good.
Certain people, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, okay, so Tamsin, once again, how can people find out? Are there tickets at the door, too? If they want to get them,
there are tickets at the door. It will be cash only on the day. And if you'd like to purchase your tickets ahead of time, again, it's www.manhattanbeachchamber.com.
Manhattanbeachchamber.com.
Straight to
Eventbrite. And the event is lunch at the beach, and you don't want to miss it. Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Mark Lips and Tamsin Green, thank you so much for joining us, guys. And
Sam, thank you for having us on.
Of course.
We appreciate it, and we look so forward to seeing you
awesome.
At our Bite at the Beach on Saturday.
Yes, and Mark and Tamsin have been here before. You can go and listen to our show in the past where they were here. We talked about a lot of fun things. But the most important thing is come down Manhattan Beach, check it out. And, guys, we'll see you in a couple days, huh?
All right.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Sam.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Nice people.
Yeah, they're so
nice people. Yeah. So, don't miss out on that, folks. We're going to have a lot of fun there, you know. If nothing else, just come and meet us, for crying out loud. You know, we always listen to us. Get to see us in person. We'll
put a name to a face.
Face to a voice. We'll be able to to give you autographs like they really care, right? We'll give out tchotchkes, which are like, you know, all kinds of things. So we'll give out pens. We just got a new shipment of pens and stuff, so we'll give those
out.
You guys will want to and you know, if anybody wants to be interviewed, we can arrange for you to be interviewed on the air. It'll be streamed live right here, streamed live here on LA Talk Radio, and also it's going to be recorded as well, so you guys can always catch it later. But if you can't come, because not everybody's in LA, we're aware of that, but mm-hmm. if you're in the area, you got nothing to do on Saturday, man. That's going to be a cool event. So, okay. So we were talking about North Korea, and you were talking about, you know, why this is like distracting from the Russia thing. You know, the thing is this. How long are we going to hold on to this Russia thing? I mean, there's still nothing happening other than just everybody wanting to investigate.
There is stuff happening. You know,
like what?
They're obviously they're not going to leak the information from their investigation.
Uh-huh.
Their investigations take months, weeks, okay. years. They're gathering stuff. Right. Russia colluded in our election, and there is a group of people, mainly Republicans, who deny it. People from both sides of the political spectrum in Washington acknowledge, and a lot of agencies,
right.
like, Russia colluded in our election. Just
right.
accept it. They
right.
did.
Right.
And now we're going to find out if our president... Mm-hmm. and the people that he worked with colluded yeah. with the Russians.
Right, if it was part of
they
it,
they don't
okay.
go and raid your house at 5 in the morning if you have something to be innocent
right.
over.
Right, right.
People need to acknowledge it. It's a yeah. fact. Russia colluded in our election. They're, I mean, welcome to reality, people.
Yeah, well, you know, there's still... I'd like to see the evidence, really. I want to see...
We will.
Yeah, I want to know what really happened
see.
There.
They're investigating it. I mean, they're not going to tell you what happens before the investigation is over. Plus, if they find that there are charges that need to be... we're going to see everything.
Mm.
And Mueller has two grand juries for, like, going in Washington. So, I mean... this doesn't happen if there's nothing going on.
Right.
And it's just really sad because this could have been prevented. All of us who didn't want to vote for Donald Trump, and I'm not even saying Hillary, we knew that he wasn't unfit. We knew he wasn't a good president. We knew he would be a terrible leader. We knew he was a shitty business person. I mean, look at all the debt and corruption and problems he had in his life. And all Bill Clinton did was lie to the American people one time.
No, you
and
have
Donald
well,
Trump
then you're totally ignoring
to
the history of the Clintons.
And Donald Trump has lied to us a bajillion times,
right?
And we
but
let
so
it
is Hillary, and she's lied in office.
I know, but that's just the Republican. But Hillary, we're not even talking about Hillary.
But why not?
Because
the thing is no. Because the thing is this. Look, who do we have to choose
that's
from?
That's what the Republicans do. Is they deflect. Just own it. The people,
what?
The leader of your party.
On
is
what?
Horrible,
just like,
the people of your party.
Right.
The person who's the head of your party
right.
is ruining our country, if not the world.
Okay, I'm not defending him at all. Okay, I don't think he's a good president
no
at all.
No one is talking
but
about
you're
Hillary.
But you're trying to find out why people voted for Trump, and I'm telling you, it's because Hillary was no better choice for a lot of people.
That's really sad.
Okay, well, it's sad, but
it's
you know,
so, I mean,
you got to understand.
Hillary,
that not everybody
feels. I just
don't
think she would be doing what I know, but. But the majority, the people that are saying this right now,
mm-hmm.
your percentage is shrinking and shrinking.
What? That what? That are
no,
saying
like,
what?
But Hillary, because that is not, you need to own it. Just own it.
No, but own what? The fact that
no
I didn't
is,
have anybody to,
no
to vote
talking,
for?
You had Bernie. You had other people. No one is talking about Hillary. Own that Donald Trump is a shitty president who might lead us
well,
into
but
a
we do.
War.
But okay, but we got to find out why he was elected, right?
Because
oh, it doesn't
Russia
matter.
Colluded in our election.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Fuck this one. Let's move on to. There was one more thing that I wanted to bring up. Oh, did you know that in Italy there's a forbidden orgy island?
What does that mean?
That's what they call it. I don't know, man, but I'm trying to read up on this thing, but it's like totally unclear as far as to what's going on there. But they're saying that, I mean, it's beautiful out there, you know? But what they're saying is there's a castle there, and there used to be like orgies and stuff there, like a colonial villa, you know? And they're saying that's where the Marquis Casari Stampa held lavish sex parties. So
sounds like Las Vegas.
Yeah, right. So they found the Roman pool where Anna Falerino enjoyed swimming nude. Whoever that was, I don't know, but yeah, nice to hear that some people are able to have such a life full of sex all the time with such views of the Mediterranean.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a terrible... I mean, I would go. If I was invited, I'm not saying I were to participate, but if there's a Mediterranean ocean, I mean, I can go and find my own little place while, you know, the other activities are taking place.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where our friends from Italy are from.
Yeah.
From yesterday.
We had cool Italian guests here yesterday, which was very cool. So, yeah. Finally, I guess I didn't... The name rang a bell, but I wasn't sure who it is. Chelsea Manning. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
She was that transgender,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The soldier that underwent a sex change operation. She's making her Vogue debut. She's going to be on Vogue.
Good for her.
That'll be very interesting to see, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know what she looks like now?
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're only showing her as a guy here.
You could probably find pictures of her after her transition.
Here, let's see. In the magazine. Let's see if they're showing it. In the magazine, Chelsea Manning. Yeah, wow. Yeah, she looks like a woman. Cool. Oh, man. What else?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else crazy going on in the news right now.
No, huh? I mean, we got enough of crazy shit there, man. It's like there's not enough going on, right? Not enough action going on.
No, there's too much. We need more.
No, I mean, I'm being sarcastic, you know. There's just too much fucking going on. Look, I do agree that all this shit with Trump is distracting the country. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm with you as far as too. He's deconstructing a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I don't
know.
But
the thing is like, there are Republicans who don't support Donald Trump. And
right.
They don't support what he's doing.
Right.
And there are even Republicans who are leaving the party because simply they cannot have what is happening and be a part and have the R on their name carrying forward with what Trump is doing to the Republican Party.
Right.
I personally think it's smart to leave the Republican Party. I'm not saying become a Democrat, but just don't support what is going on, because when this ship goes down, it's going down. Mm. I promise you. This shit is not... that. He is not going to be our president forever, for 8 years. I God willing. But if you are a Republican and if you're a Trump supporter, I would just really take a hard look about what my values are and morals. And do you want to be a part of that? When we find out everything, because we will, we have the best people working on investigations, and they're not going to waste our time if there's nothing to be found,
right?
So just what do you stand for?
Right.
You know,
right.
What do you stand for? Who do you, you know, like, do you really want to look at your kids at night and have to explain what is going, you know, and justify the craziness that is happening? I mean, just he's ruining everything. I mean, down to old people homes, not being able to sue if you're being mistreated. I mean, transgender, this everything this country stands for, Donald Trump is against.
Yeah.
And if you don't look and look like him, I mean, look at the people he puts out, the blonde women, you know, the I mean, not that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is, but they're all white Christian people. And that's not what America is. Not just white and Christian. We're not a country that is we have a church and state,
right?
You know, so we just need to accept that he's, you know, shit happens. Sometimes we get hired for the wrong job.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
I've gotten a job. I quickly find out I'm not the fucking right person for it. And that is simply what is going on. We are realizing he's not the right person. We're having an HR crisis. You know, we need to figure out.
We are, but we need to figure out what to do about war. And I for one,
it's sad because
think
his
it's
platform,
us.
He ran America first, and the last thing, we are being put last. America is put last right now. A lot of Americans are going to suffer the longer Trump is in office. Mm. The more Americans will suffer.
Okay. All right. All right, folks.
But anyways, I hope everyone has a happy
Yes, Wednesday. Have a happy day.
Is it Wednesday? Happy Wednesday. Thursday. It's a happy Thursday. See, yeah. I don't even know. Why are you taking advice from me? I think it's Wednesday. I live a day in the past.
That's why we timestamp the show every morning, folks, so we'll know. So it is Thursday indeed. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We thank Suzanne Belfi for calling in about her book, The Path of Lucas. Also, the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mark Lips, Tamsin Green. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Thank you, Rachel.
You're
and
welcome.
We'll definitely see you all. Tomorrow's going to be a very fun show. We're going to have Kay Brandt back on the show. Mm-hmm. She's the erotic writer and porn director, but she's an awesome woman. And
she's a director for porn?
Yeah, she directs porn. And she writes porn and things like that, you know.
Maybe I'll get a job.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a second job tomorrow.
Okay. You want to get into porn? You could write lines.
I didn't say I was going to be the actress. I mean, I could help with the marketing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Comedy and porn. Two things that should never go together, right?
Well, you'll be glad tomorrow that you met her.
Okay.
Anyway, folks, thanks all for joining us as always, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.